Welcome back to the Artist Karen Feeding Minisode. I am your producer, Mark, and with me, of course, is our two hosts of the show, Caitlin Barrett and Kathleen Falsani. On today's Minisode, we are talking about hashtag no fly list. If you've seen this on Twitter or Instagram or anywhere, it's basically videos of people reacting to the fact that they went to DC, which is where I'm currently living, and stormed a Capitol, and then like turns out they can't get on planes now
because
they're urban terrorists. What do you guys think of this? I personally think it's hilarious. And even if they're fake, whatever reason, like every reason I've looked up as to why these people are on no-fly lists is like a real no-fly list, you're arrested. These are just like people who weren't allowed to fly on planes, as I've discovered. Most of them because of mask mandates.
Right.
And they refuse to wear masks. And I think that's the funniest thing because I am a huge stickler for masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone that isn't just doesn't understand.
No, is a idiotic, selfish monster. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there.
Sure.
I just think if you're not wearing it, if you're willfully not wearing a mask in an enclosed space like
with
airplane
a rule.
Or, I don't know, chambers
with a,
of Senate.
With a stated rule that says, in order to be in this building, in this store, on this plane, you have to wear a mask. Right. No exceptions.
Right.
And I have a friend who works for Alaska, and they had to carry a woman off the plane in the last couple of weeks because she refused to wear a mask.
The what I thought was interesting when I first started seeing the hashtag a couple nights ago was like, ooh, somebody's clever and brought all of the videos together. And this is where it sucks to be a journalist because I just wanted to jump right in and do, because actually the funniest part of the Twitter feed, if you look up hashtag no fly lists, are the reaction videos to the reaction videos.
Yes, yes.
But I wanted to just like, oh, yay, it's schadenfreude that I can get behind. But then I started going, why is she wearing shorts? It's January. And then realized that three quarters of them have nothing to do with what just happened.
But
a few of them are. Like the lady in red, who's being
sobbing in
the
airport or whatever it is,
right?
Yeah.
You know, because she stormed the castle and now she's on it. She was for the travel ban and now she's part of a travel ban. I'm like, that's funny, but a lot of them are, you know, unfortunately, just have nothing to do with what they purport to be about.
Right.
Nonetheless, funny though, with people who are exercising their white privilege to not wear a mask on a plane. And are,
did you see the hashtag Vanilla ISIS?
I did.
Because I thought that was motherfucking genius.
Vanilla ISIS was...
ISIS.
It's a black commentator, a black woman commentator on CNN. I think it was CNN, wherever Joy Reid is these days. Maybe it's MSNBC. She coined it on air about a week ago.
It's so good.
Clever
on so many levels that I just have to
applaud.
There's
one that's a play on words with Al-Qaeda too, but I can't think of what that is right now. That's also funny, but Vanilla ISIS is very funny.
It's real good.
I'm under the like school of thought that says anyone who gets kicked off of a plane probably was unbearable anyways. Now like flying is terrible anyways,
awful,
right?
And right, like I've flown for a living, like not flying, but I've flown as part of my job for many years, and I despise it. Like anytime I cannot fly in a plane now, I just don't.
Right.
And the people have made it terrible. So anytime anyone gets kicked off a plane, I always laugh because it's usually like someone being too drunk, someone not wearing a mask, someone doing something and maybe like spitting in someone's face or racially, you know, being awful that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always a reason that I'm like, whatever the reason is, you're never getting kicked off a plane because you're a devout Christian. You're being kicked off the plane because of something you
did. Right, because you're acting like a dick.
Which,
right.
Yeah.
Although, I was just going to say, I would say that up until this point, I would guess most of the people being removed from a plane, it's for a medical emergency and not because of a personality defect, like assholiness. But now there is definitely a rise in people feeling like they can just disregard a rule if they don't like it, and they can claim mm-hmm. some strange amendment of the Constitution to defend them. And which I feel like we're now at the point where we're like, do you really understand how the Constitution works?
No.
Private right. companies, like public companies, yeah. federal government, right. state government, like it's a little complicated, but you can't just throw out the word amendment and then do whatever you want. Like it's not right. how it
and
works.
People always talk about how the government should take some role in, you know, when people were talking about like, hey, you can't ban someone from, you can't not make someone's cake right. in, you know, because it's a gay wedding. And I'm like, you can't, I agree with that. Like that's wrong. But I'm of the school of thought that says, great, just put them out of business. Give your money to someone who wants it.
Totally.
And as much as I think it sucks, I don't know. Like I would just rather them go out of business than be forced to make a cake. But when someone does something and then wants the government to like put an end, like I got kicked off of Twitter. Someone should stop. Some government agent should tell them they have to let me back on. I'm like, no, they don't. They
private company
kicked you off.
It's not a right. thing. Yeah. Well, private did you company. See what happened yesterday in Northern Idaho, which is the most iconoclastic place you can imagine. Like everything that you're picturing in your head right now about mm. Northern Idaho, true. My brother lives in Idaho, not Northern Idaho, but I've driven through Northern Idaho to get to Montana, where my adopted family is, many, many times. And that, or I try not to. I try to go around it. Mm. But so there was some cable provider, I guess, or something. Yeah, cable providers. Who's
blah.
I've had 4 hours of sleep, and it was all this morning. Who a provider for internet connection too. And they turned off access to Twitter and Facebook yesterday in retaliation for, and I'm like, so
to everyone?
Yeah. Like, so they blocked it from their servers, which, you know, affects like what, 34 people, in, but still.
Who haven't already been deplatformed by Twitter for hate speech.
Constantly.
Right.
Shouting about their Second Amendment rights and then misapplying First Amendment rights and then to protest what they perceive to be a First Amendment violation of, you know, having Trump and his cronies kicked off of Twitter for years of violating community standards, right. by the way, not just last week. To protest that, they take away
everybody's
access.
Right.
To it's like, do you and see if, the irony? No, of course you didn't.
And
see
if
the
you
irony
have
here.
A problem with this, anyone who has a problem with that, like anyone who's like, you shouldn't be allowed to limit what someone has access to, because like we've determined now, I think it's the NATO or some large overarching group has decided that if you cut off someone's internet access, it's a human rights violation mm-hmm. because that is every time a country does that, they're right. usually like, we're gonna murder everyone yeah. in the country so right. that no one can tweet about how we're murdering
right, right. here it's comes like, the Kristallnacht, not to yeah, bring in like right. the worst it's example like, ever but yeah. The, yeah you start
it's an autocratic like, society or dictatorship
right.
or whatever
yeah, like yeah. people do it it's and North so Korea. when we had those protections in place with like net neutrality and they took it away, they like want people want there not to be net neutrality. And they're like, well, why? And I'm like, well, I have Verizon and I don't want Verizon to be able to say, oh, you can't have access to these liberal media outlets.
Right.
Because I want my liberal media in the same way that I don't want my neighbor who might be conservative. I want him to be able to watch all the Fox News he wants.
Yeah. And be on Parler 24,000 days out right. of the year if you 100%. Want to be.
Which now doesn't exist because of free commerce.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
This right. is your capitalism at work.
Right.
So
right.
this is all right. of the financial right. backers who are hosting the things. And
however,
banks that are trying to process. Right. Yeah. That processing donations are like, no.
Right. But you can also argue that it's making a point. People have been making a point. Trump supporters and far right idealists have been making a point that they're marginalized. And now it's sort of proving the point that they're marginalized if you're taking away a platform that they're using because
I'm
it's not being regulated.
I'm super fine with them being marginalized because they shouldn't be central.
Well, except that the marginalization violent. Led to violence in the Capitol. I mean, you
no,
can...
No, no, no. It wasn't the marginalization that led to it. It was somebody who wanted to, who it was white elite power brokers who told middle class and upper middle class people for years that they were they were stoking the white outrage and the white the white grief that actually is based in no kind of reality. They're telling all these people that they're having things stolen from them and they're oppressed and they're being put on the margins and it wasn't true. You know, do we marginalize white supremacist Nazi fuckheads? Yeah, because they're not supposed to be the mainstream. God help us when they are. Right. We've seen how that plays out. Hey, Poland, how are you? I mean, like...
Yeah. But, yeah. No, I'm not arguing that at all. But I'm just saying we are already in a position in this country where we are super fractured. And I feel like the response of social media over the past 4 years is to be like, meh, it's fine because we're getting ad dollars and we're adding more users and everything's okay.
Right.
And then there's an outbreak of violence and suddenly everyone's like, this is terrible. Shut everything down. And now it's like, okay, that's the solution now 4 years later, 4 years of Trump screaming
really
his face off. And now, now you're like, now you don't get a platform at all. Seems like not the solution at all to me.
Well, I think that not having a platform right now on which they can
mobilize
their plans and mobilize. Right. I mean, that's a national security reason that should
sure.
Shut
and
down.
If it was to say until the inauguration's over or whatever
but the government didn't shut it down.
No, it's
Congress
true. It's public. Yeah,
and
no,
I think
it's
that's fine.
Private companies.
You know,
yeah.
But those are. Government regulated companies.
Right.
That's the
and publicly traded.
Your tax dollars, well, yes, but your tax dollars pay for the maintenance of the land that they use to span their communication cables, which is why the FCC has jurisdiction on things like that. Mm. Because the FCC says, well, if you want to run a very expensive network of fiber optic cables throughout the country in order to provide people with fast, reliable internet service, you can, but you have to do it through federal land. You have to do it across state lines, and all of that becomes partly regulated by the FCC.
But this was
and the
an
FCC
call.
Says, right? Mm-mm. But that, and that's what I mean is the FCC should not allow someone to say you aren't allowed these websites.
Right. That's,
the government should say you aren't allowed these websites. An internet service is like your water or your gas.
Right.
It shouldn't say only white people are allowed gas and water. It's like, no, you can't do that. That's a protected class. In the same way, these people that were provided internet are these services, while to most people don't seem very vital, to some it is their only form of communication.
Of course. Right.
And so when you can take away these two websites, you might as well take away YouTube. You might as well take away this, that.
Well, that's a very Chinese autocratic kind of thing to do. We're gonna block this, and this and this.
Yeah.
That's not something that happens here.
No.
But there's a difference between companies shutting down, multi-billion-dollar companies pulling the plug on hosting and doing transactions for Parler and other things like that.
Right.
In the middle of an ongoing coup and with, you know, tons of information about armed attacks that are being planned all over the country, that's very different than some cable provider in Northern Idaho going, you can't have your Twitter owning the libs. I mean, they're very different things. But
but again, it is a complicated issue. And I think it comes back to Social Dilemma, that documentary where they're talking about the algorithm and how these engineers created an algorithm they cannot control. So, we can get on social media for being like, why didn't you do something about this 4 years ago? Because I'm 100% on that train. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that because they can't. Because they've created a Frankenstein monster that's out there crushing cities like Godzilla, to mix all my metaphors. All my strange monster metaphors.
Just call me Mothra.
But but now there's nothing they can do. They're like, we have put this thing in motion. We cannot control it. The only thing to do is either turn it on or turn it off. The end. That's it. There's no other way.
And I'm always a fan of how do you fix how do you fix a monster that, you know, if you let it loose, it kills people, you can't like make it softer, is you just start over. And if you know, any social media platform.
Right. Well, of
not
big tech.
Deregulation, but human regulation. So you say to a company, hey, you incited a riot, and the people, the five people that died that day, technically have a lawsuit they can file where they say you're responsible for the wrongful death. You aided.
Yes.
You were
abetted.
Not, yeah, you were culpable. You were financially responsible for the things that happened because you provided these things to people. You know, people wanted that same kind of lawsuit protection for gun manufacturers. If you make a gun, that's very easy to find and very easy to get, and I go and buy that gun and shoot up a school, and your kid dies, you should be allowed to sue the gun manufacturer because they created a weapon that was only used to kill humans.
But you can't, because the NRA has owned half of our Congress for 35 years.
Yeah. Right. And so when that doesn't work, then people go like, you can't do that because the system is broken. And I go, cool. Well, then let's not game the system. Let's fix it, you know, because those symptoms of like gun violence again, you know, gun violence in schools and things like that, those always become worse when we don't fix them right away. Mm-hmm. And what happened? We got a system that's super broken, and now we have all these you know, terrible congressmen and terrible senators because we just decided, well, you can't fix it. And we obviously can. You just fix it with better people. You hire better people for the job who aren't in the pockets of these big corporations and big companies.
So we're going to see a lot of ability to change things that we hadn't been able to even think about changing in 10 days if we could just get there. One of the case in point, I want to talk about fixing a broken system. It looks like, well, I know something Senator Durbin from Illinois introduced this yesterday, but I know that it was already announced on the agenda of the Biden administration is to outlaw the federal death penalty.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Interesting.
Because the Trump administration has basically been on a killing spree for the last 6 months.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of executions, federal executions, had basically been halted a number of years ago. And they're just trying to kill everybody before he gets out of office, which is disgusting.
I'm
virulently against the death penalty. Because they're horrible people.
Well,
they're horrible people.
He's a horrible person. I don't.
So are a lot of the people who work with him.
Well, actually, I think a lot of people who work with him are worse in many ways because I think they can see how horrible he is and they're in it for their own good or for money or for fame and influence or for potential political favor down the road or whatever
or it's a really
which
good
I think is almost worse.
Flak jacket, you know what I mean? Like they can take Trump, like if I'm a xenophobic rich politician and I want to do I want to lay waste to all these smaller minority groups. How do I do it? I pick someone who's louder and more charismatic than me, and then I can hide in the back and be like, you should go this avenue, maybe.
Yes, marionette, puppeteer work back there.
But hey, Stephen Miller, we still see you back there, Golem. You know,
all those guys. And anyone who's
he's not an ideologue. He doesn't care about anything. Do you think that Donald Trump actually gave two thoughts to the death penalty before somebody went, hey, you know, we got all these people that, you know, all right, let's do that.
Part of your legacy can be tough on crime or
and then
whatever
pardoning your family on the way out the door. And yourself.
The way out the door.
And as
I mean,
much
legacy
as
building
been,
like is a part of a thing that a president gets into in the last days of their office. So it's
his
interesting.
His entire life has been about
legacy
his
building.
It's not even legacy. It's about him.
Yeah, it is.
That's why he's down at the border right now. It's the last
Alamo.
Few days of his. Yeah. Well, he's down
but
like
not
showing
at the Alamo, but in Alamo, Texas, because they're fucking
or
morons.
The Alamo car rental.
No, was just embrace it.
Whoever Wait, is started, that really where he is? Is he in Alamo, Texas?
Yes.
Is it? But it's to show off the wall, right? Because didn't they build a section of wall there?
I think allegedly he's down there for wall purposes. Yes,
yeah.
The partially built. Look at me. This is a campaign promise.
I think they announced that they were going
to
the to the Alamo and then very quickly realized that they could not go to the Alamo.
And again,
and so they were like, no, we meant Alamo, Texas.
The legacy of the Alamo? I'm really? Like,
do you know how that ended? No, and of course he doesn't because he doesn't know anything about history.
That's the last Trump stand is in the Alamo.
Okay.
I mean,
keep it in Texas. I'm fine with that.
That's
it
fine.
It feels really apropos. And I kind of, it makes me wonder if there wasn't, you know, the same person who was like, we should do an event at the Four Seasons.
Right.
You mean the hotel? Yeah, the hotel.
Yeah.
I want someone to be like, I worked for Trump and I really wanted to make a stand and I didn't know how. So I was going to.
So I Googled people who made a stand and the first thing that came up was like, the Alamo.
Or
they were like, holla.
Or they're like,
second to Waterloo. Like, you know what?
Right. Were they just like, Waterloo, this would be a really funny thing and no one is paying attention.
We're going
and I want to be like, no one double checks our bookings. So I'm going to book him at the Alamo, Texas and say like, we're going to make our last stand at the Alamo, Texas and nobody question it. Then go in and be like, oh, we should look this up first. We already bought tickets. And maybe this is just someone's like master plan of like seeding funny jokes.
Oh,
like
gosh.
This is the same type of person.
I wish
who...
there were somebody that clever.
I do.
Anywhere
also.
In his administration.
An aide.
So he got down there. Do you know what he said?
No, I've not
he's
paid
been down
I've paid very little
Alamo,
attention to
Alamo,
him
Texas.
In the past several days. It's
I've been
refreshing.
Awake for an hour and 9 minutes. And I, you
and
know,
you've just
I
been
wake up and I'm like,
on a Trump hunt.
CNN. Yeah. I
okay.
Just turned it on while
so,
I was
so
not,
what did he
not
do?
Washing my hair. So he got down there and just said more, you know, bullshit about stolen elections. And then.
Are you kidding?
Something about
still?
No. And then something. Yes.
I
and
mean,
then some. But
why?
But his biggest point was the 25th Amendment. Can't touch me, has nothing to do with me, but I have to say this.
Tremendous.
And here comes the veiled threat against the sitting vice president to be.
Elect, right.
Vice president elect, thank you. He said, I would just say, Joe Biden, be careful what you wish for. Like, threatening to, they're going to use it against Joe because he's incapacitated. Because I mean, their whole storyline with Biden this whole time is that he has Alzheimer's. Do you know that?
Oh yeah, of course, Sleepy That's, Joe and all of that. I mean, that came from that whole
which,
business of like he's not cognitively aware or present or you know. I mean,
for the love,
Kamala's on her game. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, but
I'm cool.
But
with that.
But to say like, that that's what he did. He goes all the way down to Texas, and he's like, "Well, it's bigly beautiful, or whatever the fuck he's."
It's bigly beautiful.
It's tremendous.
The best way.
I am also tremendous. It's been the most tremendous 4 years and all of the tremendous times.
Most success with my tiny pervert pedophile hand. So he's and then to like. The talking heads who are, you know, trying to go, well, he's learned something over the last few. No, he hasn't. He's a malevolent type 2 narcissist. He's not learning anything about anything, and he never has. And so, no, he didn't learn anything. So there was nothing conciliatory or even like kind or whatever. He's like, watch out, Joe. What comes around? Careful what you wish for.
That you cannot like, say that he didn't learn
whatever.
Anything the last 4 years. He learned how to pronounce Wuhan. he learned where on a map China is.
He invented several words like bigly and huge.
Huge.
Huge was one of my favorites.
I want Merriam-Webster to like pick those up and make them real words.
No, I absolutely do not.
And then they become...
Bam them.
Because Merriam-Webster, to be honest, Merriam-Webster is the only dictionary that would do that. Because I think Merriam-Webster is still the dictionary that says that the definition of literally is both figuratively and literally. Those are the two definitions in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Can't.
So if you look up literally, it means to figuratively do something.
Yeah, I'm team OED. I'm the team
Oxford English.
All day. But that's the great thing about the Oxford English Dictionary is the Oxford English Dictionary teaches you the history of the word.
Right.
So like it shows you all of the
but
definitions.
But they do add
and when
new words every year.
They do.
So,
yeah, all the time.
You know,
they had like big stacks of them.
I feel like they had a whole series this year about the virus, about quarantine and all the kind of phrases that were sort of coined because of quarantine and coronavirus and all these different quarantinis and et cetera.
Do you know what the word bigly means to me?
I cannot imagine.
I'm going to bring this down to like a, this is sad. It's true and it's sad and it's painful.
A real dark level.
My mother, who died a year ago, was a huge Trump supporter and became ideologically someone I didn't recognize by the end of her life, and was combative and aggressive in her, well, she'd always been aggressive in her beliefs, but in that way of like taunting the people in her life that she knew didn't agree with her.
So interesting.
She, and I didn't pay any attention, and I can't stand his voice. I grew up with Donald Trump on TV. I can't fucking stand the guy. I can't hear his stupid face, his anus with teeth. I can't, no, I can't stand the way he talks. And I think he's repellent. And so I wasn't listening to any of his campaign speeches and stuff. And she started signing off all of her notes to us, love you bigly. And it wasn't until after she died that I realized, oh, fuck, that was a Trump thing.
Wow.
Yeah, they suck. And, you know, my mother was an intelligent woman, a woman of great faith, even though some of the doctrine that she believed in, some of the theology, I thought was really twisted there toward the end, also espoused and drumbeat into her via Fox News for the last 20 years of her life. But that's just...
Wow.
Yeah, that word just is like, oh, my mother, when I thought she was telling, being cute and telling us that she really loved us, was actually just making a Trump jab. Thanks, Helen.
I mean, it just, it really does.
Run, Daddy.
It does go to show you how splintered everything has become, though.
It's terrible.
It's, again, it's just like this internet of rabbit holes. And once you go down one, everything down there just serves to tell you what you want to believe, whether or not it's the truth. And then you just sit down there.
There are echo chambers and silos in both places. But yeah. I do not believe that CNN was created to indoctrinate and terrify a generation of old people into believing that their lives were in such threat,
in imminent danger.
It's so amazing that he managed to make
that happen.
Collectively.
It's very clear that he was trying to manipulate something. Ted Turner wasn't trying to manipulate anything except for his pocketbook.
Right.
And, you know, say what you will, I mean, CNN's far from perfect, especially right now. There's no broadcast media that's, I mean, the PBS NewsHour is close, but
yeah,
there's nothing
that's unbiased.
Ideal.
Yeah.
But there's not, there's unbiased, there's biased cable news, and then there's Fox News, which has basically become state media,
right?
In a way that, okay, I'll just tell the other horrifying story. So the day after he was elected, when I was driving back from Arizona, where I had done a get out the vote, nonpartisan get out the vote effort in heavily Hispanic neighborhoods in Phoenix, my mother sent me, as she was wont to do, a dispatch on Facebook, where she said she also believed insanely that there was a prophecy about Melania was going to be the best vice, but the best first lady ever. And
I'm
that,
sorry, hold please. A prophecy?
Yes, yeah, my mother was charismatic, and
she, well, I mean, she did have the world's best.
Who prophesied? Christmas decorations. Who prophesied?
Some, you know, wacko
faith healer
evangelist, and
somebody found a stone in a field and put it.
She
in
was
a hat
very
and
deeply,
it.
Deeply and sadly into prosperity Christianity, climate Christianity, all that stuff. So which melds with all of this thinking in some areas. Anyway, so she sent me a note that said, I think this is going to be, you should, I know you're upset, but you should consider this a time when journalism might become something totally new and different. And I said, now my husband has a Pulitzer Prize. And I don't have a Pulitzer Prize, but I'm not half bad as a journalist either. But a family full of journalists. My daughter, my stepdaughter is a journalist. Her husband was a journalist. I mean, and I said, Mom, you've no idea how offensive what you just said is. Because she had it in her mind that he was going to usher in some great age of a new kind of friendly journalism.
But
I'm like,
what
you
does
mean
that
state-run
even mean?
Journalism?
Yeah. What does new and friendly even mean?
but a new era for it that might be something you could never have imagined. I'm like, oh no, I can imagine it. And exactly what I imagined is precisely what happened with Fox News over the last 5 years. But to say that, I mean, that's how, who, you know, she came to Maury's, she and my dad came to Maury's Pulitzer ceremony at Columbia. I mean, they were proud and never stopped bragging. Well, I'm not going to lump my dad in with this because he was a lifelong Democrat and not a moron and didn't believe crazy things.
God bless. R.I.P. Muzzy.
Except R.I.P. Muzz. Shout out. Run. But yeah, it was, not to throw my mother under the bus, but there was a lot of really shitty, painful things that happened between she and I won't speak for my brother, around this stuff unnecessarily at the end of her life, you know?
That's so,
but to say, and I'm thinking we have a mutual friend, Caitlin, whose parents I've also known for many, many years and love deeply, and they are not monstrous people, but they have fallen for this party line, the QAnon stuff, the gun-toting stuff, and became this very, they were haranguing their daughter who doesn't agree with any of that, who's, you know, trying to be loving and all that, to the point that she had to take a big step back from her family recently. And
that's shitty. Which I know, which I feel is unfortunately not an uncommon story amongst Christian families with conservative Christian parents and less conservative children. It's like there's something in the conservative.
That's always been there.
Yeah, but there's something in the conservative Christian world and the idealism around Trumpism that much has been written. I'm not even going to get into it, but I don't understand it. And it is 100% of a thing. And I don't get the connection.
And then you get people
the appeal.
Like,
I don't understand it. The like need for a messiah. The like, this guy is the second or third or 12th coming of someone important. Because of course it can't be Christ, because that would be idolatrous. But maybe sort of mini Christ, Christ-ish, Christ-ill.
Christ, I don't need, the
Christ-ling.
Reckoning.
Like, Christ, I don't, what the fuck?
Too Christ, too furious.
Oh, well,
somewhere someone is clutching their pearls listening to this.
Well, they already dipped out.
Oh yeah,
too Christ, too furious.
Oh dear, I broke my zipper.
I've read so many like things about like what if you know. The coronavirus, you know, it's got a crown. It's the corona crown.
Oh.
It's maybe that's the Christ they were talking about, God, the second coming, and that he's the Antichrist and all this stuff. And there's like all...
I'll give you Antichrist. That's the spirit.
Like, Trump is the Antichrist and like the buildings. And there was like all these things. This guy was like, wouldn't this be funny if this all lined up? And he's like, fuck guys, it's lining up. And I wanted to be like, this is the book I want to read. Because I want it to be like, you know, because you know me, I think everything is multiverse and like related
and
to
possibly
time travel.
A conspiracy.
Possibly a conspiracy. And so what or I want it to be is art. Like that's it, is like that Trump is the Antichrist and all this stuff lines up perfectly because it's supposed to.
God, I just, and yeah, why does it have to get religious at all? But then why did the coronavirus need to get political? Like, there's so many stupid alliances these days that I don't understand. I just don't.
Just makes me want to throw things. Hold on, I got to fix my mic.
Okay, do it. We can also...
My glowy thing that makes my temperature go down.
I want to say that's a fan in some people's worlds. Or blowy thing that makes the temperature go down is also a good description of that.
That's going to be our first t-shirt. It's going to be just a fan. Have you heard of the like, I think it's a Korean thing where they don't, Korean fans don't run for longer than like 15 minutes.
Because they feel because that's long enough?
No, they're worried that it's going to suck the oxygen out of the room, cannot happen. But they all don't work because it's like this paranoia that you're going to like suffocate if a fan is running. And I have a friend that's like got a warning. It's like a Korean teacher. I think it's Korean. It's either Korean or Vietnamese. I can't remember which. I want to say it's Korean. And it's like got this warning about not running a fan like unattended at night while you're sleeping in a closed off room.
I'm their worst nightmare. I always have a fan running in every room that I'm in pretty much 24 hours a day.
And it could be Vietnam, because when I was in Vietnam at the beginning of last year and the coronavirus was sort of raging around Asia, they started putting a, like when housekeeping would come through to clean my room, they started putting a sticker near my temperature box, the kind that you can, you know, regulate the temperature in your room. And it had a I actually pulled one off of the wall and kept it, but it had a warning that the coronavirus grows in temperatures of X to X. So they would always adjust my temperature to inhibit the coronavirus. Yeah. The hotter the room was, allegedly, it was going to kill the coronavirus. So I would come back to my room and it would be like a fucking sauna. And then I would, you know, yank it down to like meat temperature, you know, freezer temperature. And the very next couple of days, whenever they would come back in, another sticker would be slapped on my temperature gauge and it would be like yanked all the way to the side again. And I was like, this is such an interesting way to go about this. Just heat every room to boiling.
Thank you all for joining us for today's mini-sode. As always, you can find us on artistcareandfeeding@gmail.com and find us on our website at artistcareandfeeding.com. Thanks for listening.